I'm going to ask Deacon Smith.
To the third chapter.
Yeah, the third chapter of Hebrews. I'm going to ask him to read 3:15 through 4:3. Deacon Smith, you don't mind. Now, this is going to be a little slow because we got to comprehend this. We talk about the word comprehension.
Yeah.
We got to comprehend how this is all put together. So, Deacon, would you lead us in our reading there, sir? He's reading Hebrews 3rd chapter, beginning at verse 15, and he's going to read through 3.
Well, it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses.
Mm-hmm.
But with whom was he grieved 40 years? It was not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness. And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it.
Mm-hmm.
For unto us was the gospel preached,
mm-hmm.
as well as unto them.
Yes.
But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it.
Mm-hmm.
For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works are finished from the foundation of the world.
Amen. Amen. I want to talk a little bit about the word that delivers us from unbelief. The word that delivers us from unbelief. Most of us have had a relationship. Now we're talking about people on the line and people in the church house. Most of us have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It varies to the extent of our relationship. Some have a greater relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the same way it is in your families. When you got a mother and a father, some children have a better relationship with the mother, some with the father, some with both. So why wouldn't it be the same with Jesus Christ? Some of us have a better relationship with him. Whether you want to acknowledge it or not, nobody's saying mine is better than yours or yours is better than mine. We're not saying that. We're saying we have a different relationship, and it varies from individual to individual, this relationship with Jesus Christ. Who do you blame because the relationship is not like you want it to be? Who do we blame? Are we going to blame Jesus? I think not. I think you'd be foolish to try to blame him for not having a relationship with him. Because he said, whosoever will, let him come. He said, I'm here, just come. I stand at the door and knock. Whosoever will, I'll come in to meet with you and eat with you and love with you and relate with you. But if you want me, I'm here. So that relationship varies from individual to individual. So that relationship says that it's based on our belief. The more you believe in him, the more you act upon his word.
Come on, Reverend.
The more you believe in him,
yes.
The more you put yourself into who he is and what he's done, the more you love him, the more you pull upon him and pull from him because you have this relationship going on.
Yes.
Most of you know the story of Moses and the Israelites coming out of wilderness, coming into the wilderness from Egypt. You know the story how they didn't want to let the Hebrew children go, but God told them, let my people go. Moses became the leader of this group coming out of the wilderness. Some of them came out. Some of them stayed back. They didn't want to go. They had it like that. Some of them, when they got in there to the wilderness, they wanted to go back. So they had all these stages of belief. That's what this is. Some believe. Some had a little bit of belief. Some had great belief. But many of them, some of them failed along the wayside. The Bible says that many of them, look what it says here. Verse 17. It says, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Who was he grieved with, disappointed with for 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? In other words, they didn't make it across. They failed in their living for Christ. On the way to their promised land, they just didn't get there. They fell on the wayside. That's why it says their carcasses. That means their bodies fell in the wilderness. That same comparison is made for you and for me in this relationship to our Heavenly Father going the Jesus route. Some of us failing along the wayside. Some people are not going to heaven. I'm sorry. I ain't saying I got it all like that. I'm just saying the Bible clearly says. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, but now is the way to everlasting life. Amen. That's the word of God.
Yes.
A whole lot of, why is it broad? Because it needs the space for a whole lot of people. A whole lot of people. A whole lot of pretending Christians. I know I ain't talking about solid rock here, amen. But pass this word on to somebody else.
Well,
Moses had his hands full because he was giving them a type of Christ. He was showing them how that this is symbolic of what's going to happen in the real world. I'm going to lead you to this promised land.
Yeah.
But he's saying, I'm really showing you what is to come. Because we all hopefully will get to the real promised land, which is heaven. And see, that is the promised land that you and I have been promised. Moses is a type of Christ. He's showing the way that Christ will be coming for you and for me.
Yes.
We will fall if we are not steadfast. Always abiding in the truth of God. We will fall. But the way for us not to fall is through the word of God.
Amen.
The word will deliver us from falling. That word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yeah.
It delivers us from the status of unbelief. Unbelief. Verse 18 says this, look at this. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into rest? And whom swear he that they should not enter the rest, but to them that believe not? The believe notters don't go into what? Eternal rest. That's all it's saying to us. The unbelievers are not going into eternal rest. But the state, here's the problem. Let's look at the word belief. The Bible says the devil believes and what? Trembles. The devil believes and trembles. So wait a minute. That tells me, well, wait a minute. That's got to be more to it. Because if I believe like the devil, then I should be trembling.
Amen.
In other words, I ain't going to heaven if I believe like the devil believes.
My Lord.
So there must be more to this belief thing. Somebody asking that question. Well, what is it, Reverend?
What is it, Reverend?
I know somebody's asking me that question. I hear it. Belief is just a knowledge based on a factual thing. Based on what you call facts or your information. You believe. I believe this because evidence has shown me that such and such has happened. This is just belief. The devil is on that tick right there. He knows that he got kicked out of heaven. He and all his imps were kicked out of heaven. So he got some real knowledge that God will kick you out of heaven. He knows it for a truth. That's his belief. Because he knows it for a fact. He got kicked out. If he didn't get kicked out, he might have could say, well, I'm not sure. But he can't say I'm not sure. Because he knows he's already been kicked out. I wonder if he was given another chance, would he reconsider acting right? But he don't seem like it, does it? Everything about him says, no, no, no. This is the devil and he is full of a mess. So he ain't gonna change. He is in this belief but unbelief. He believes something, but he doesn't believe the truth. The truth shall what? He doesn't have the truth. He's believing in a lie. So, belief, we say, is in the mind. Then there's another word in that belief. It's faith. So faith is the opposite. We said it earlier, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, he got belief, but he must have no faith. He has no faith. Because if Satan had faith, he would not have got kicked out of heaven. He has no faith. He thinks that he is God himself.
Yeah.
He has no faith. Many of the Christians lack faith. Faith is their enemy. Because they do not live by faith. They live by eyesight and by natural strength and all these things, and they are failing because they have not faith in God. Faith is the anchor and substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Faith is the reality of God. We don't even understand him, but we just have faith in him.
Yeah.
We can't even reach him, comprehend but a portion of what he's given us. We can't have that because we just have, all we have is faith. Don't understand God. If we understood God, we would say, God, come back and take us out now. The world is a mess, and you see it, but we don't understand God. He says, no, my children, the time is not right. Keep your faith. Hang in there with your faith. Your faith is your anchor. Your faith is that which keeps you. Your faith will guide you. Your faith is there for you. Even if you are not able to see, faith is there to guide you. So we have belief and faith. There's one more to that group right there. It's trust. Now what is trust? Trust is a combination of belief and faith. Hear me, church. Hear me now. Just pay attention a little bit. Faith is that which you and I have to please God, right? We just said it. But in order for that faith to have its substance, trust puts that faith into action. Trust takes that faith and puts it where it can begin to maneuver and move you. That's when you know you are trusting God. When you move for God in the way that God says, then what you've done is taking that faith and begin to let it lead you and guide you. Now you're talking about trust. You're doing it because you trust Him. You trust Him. I remember a teacher told me in my seventh grade, I remember this clearly, see, so I'll never forget this. I'm 70 years old. I was in the seventh grade, and my teacher told our class that his father was a good man. He thought he was the greatest man. He said he taught me the biggest lesson that I ever learned, and that's never to trust nobody. He said my father would put me on the railing. I'm 4 years old, set me on the railing and had me to jump. And he said for years, I jumped, got 7 years old, I was still jumping. When I got 8, I jumped with my arms wide open and fell flat on my face. And I started hollering and screaming. I said, Dad, why are you there? He said, never trust nobody. His dad gave him a lesson to never trust no man. And he hurt the little boy because he found out, I can't even trust my dad. See, that was, he put trust into, he was showing trust. He was putting faith in his dad, and it was supposed to show out and had been showing out. But his dad showed him. And I remember that story. I'll never forget it. His name, our teacher name was Broadwater. I'll never forget that. That was a lesson that I learned from a young person. Be careful who you trust. Be careful who you trust. And that's why the Bible says, put not your trust in man, but put your trust in God. Huh? I'm telling you. See, he learned a lesson early. Many of us never learned a lesson like that from our parent. That was from somebody else in the streets would teach you a lesson. Yeah, they teach you a lesson big time. Huh? You leave your wallet in your car, you give them a ride, and they see your wallet, they'll take a dollar as quick as they can. Yes, sir. See, you know you can't trust them. But see, that's how it is with God. We have to trust God. Because we know that He will not be like Broadwater's dad and let us fail. We know that wherever trouble comes, our God will lead us and guide us. No matter how difficult it gets and how much we go through, our God knows what's just best for us.
Yes, He does.
We just got to trust Him. And trusting is putting faith and belief into action.
Yes, sir.
That's what we have to do. Even here, what we're doing, I was talking about the church trying to help out the community with these young men. It's putting our trust in God. We're not putting our trust in the school. We're not putting our trust in the children. We're putting our trust in God. How God lead us and guide us and let us be of a help to somebody. We're trusting. That's what the church is about, trust. Trust is God. You trust in God, everything will be all right. I want you to look at the word that I got to get in first before I close this. The word of God mixed with faith. All right. And look at verse 2 of the 4th chapter. Look at this. For unto us was the gospel preached. So wait. So we had the gospel. The gospel is the what? Word of God. Word of God. So we've had that gospel preached. As well as unto them, they heard the gospel. The good news. The Israelites. But look, but the word preach did not profit them. That word didn't get to their hearts. They weren't ready for the truth. The Israelites had fell in the wayside. Here's what happened. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard. See, so here's what he's telling us. The word, the gospel word, has to be mixed with faith. That's what it is. Just hearing the word ain't gonna do it. You gotta have faith in that word. And that word is who? Jesus. The Bible says, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. And the word was God. The word. The word. The word. The gospel word. That same word that brought us from damnation to heaven. That word, Jesus, the word, carried us from the gospel, from the truth, from a lie to the truth. The word. The word delivered us. That's how we got saved. The word delivered us. But the word has to have faith. That's why it's impossible to please God without faith. You got to have the word and faith together. That's what anchors you and me to God. Oh, my. I'm ready to sit down now, church. I remember seeing my old preacher do this one time. He told me, he sat down one time, I'm home, down home. He said, I done said enough. Close out the church. That's how I feel right now. I can't say no more. This word is the truth. And the word will just set you free. The word is real. The word is what saves you, makes you, fills you, builds you. The word of God. There's nothing like the word. Oh, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I wish Lucinda was on the phone today.
Yes.
I'm telling you. This word, you got to have it. But it's got to be mixed with faith. If you don't have that combination, you can't go nowhere. You can't go nowhere. I'm going to close with this verse. Verse 11, 4:11 says this. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest.
Lord Jesus.
We labor here to get to our eternal home. We labor. Who we labor for? Jesus. Because he died for us. We are a witness of who he is. And because we believe with faith and trust in our mighty God. Oh, I'm telling you, I got to close it. Our faith is manifested in our relationship with Jesus Christ. See, you can't lie about your faith. Your faith is manifested. It's shown in the way you live, the way you walk, the way you talk. I try to witness to a man. I do a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
He stops by sometime on his way, and he sees me. He'll pull over, and he'll start talking. I try to share the gospel with him when I can. I don't want to overdo him because, you know.
Yeah.
He's the same one that came here sitting in the back one time. Brother Bob. Mm-hmm. I call him Brother Bob, but he ain't no brother yet. But he gets fearful in his life. When stuff happens, when he's had an incident, like health issue, I see him stop by. Like I'm going to do something. Brother, you got to get right with Christ. He put faith in the preacher. His faith is in the preacher. Man, you got a mistake. But that's where his faith is in. Well, I'm a good friend with the pastor over there, so I'm feeling sick. He'll get me through this. No, Bob. You got to have Jesus on your side, buddy. And I feel so, he comes and he talks about everybody else, how they're doing. But I can't get Bob to come to this point without, he gets here. Because he doesn't like the details of discussing Jesus Christ. He doesn't like that discussion. He talks about all the other stuff, but he don't want to hear about that. That's a battle for him. It's a battle for him. But it's my responsibility. God has given me this man in my path to try to witness to the truth. He put him in my path. There's somebody in your path. There's somebody in your path. Whether you know it or not, whether you acknowledge it or not, God does not leave us without work to do. He doesn't leave us without work to do. We got work to do. And so we have to get busy about doing the Lord's work. Most of the time it's in our own families. And we just don't feel like we want to have that conversation with our family. Not again and again and again. Because they get angry after a while. You know how they get. They get angry. They don't want to hear no more about it. Am I telling the truth, Sister Karen? We get angry. They get angry. And we get tired. And they don't want to hear you. But we got to stay busy. We got to be busy. We got to be about the Lord's work. I'm going to close this. Faith and belief brings trust. Okay? Take that with you. Faith and belief brings trust. We talked about what faith meant. We talked about what belief meant. And we talked about what trust meant. So, we have to put that into action when we go and witness. So that means we can't get tired. Song said, no ways tired. We can't quit. Because see, what the results are, if we don't do it, hell might be their resting place. And then when you go to heaven, God is not pleased with us when we're not doing what he's told us to do. I want God to be pleased with me. Yes. That song y'all sing? If a God is pleased, if God is not happy, with our praise. If God is not happy, I want God to be happy.
Yes.
Don't you?
Yes.
I want him to be happy. Praise God. Let us stand upon our feet. Father. Yes.
Captain Lord, we have a special prayer for my friends who are going to serve you on land.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We'll do that. We'll take care of that. Yeah. Let's stand. If you are not a believer and you're on this line today, or maybe you're in this church. I had a young man close to me said to me last Sunday, I believe in multiple gods. I said, what are you talking about? Well, this is, don't know no better. Don't know no better. But God let me know where his heart is and work that I have to do. So if you are here and you have multiple gods, you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You haven't made a decision for Jesus. We here are praying for you to make that decision, that you might accept him into your heart, and that you might believe that he is God. We're praying for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
If you have a church home. I mean, you have no church home, but you're looking for a church home. And you don't know where to go. We open our doors for you also, that you might come and worship and pray with us as we all march up this King's highway. Father God, we're asking for a special blessing over Sister Friend. We've been told that she's going into surgery. Lord, we know she's a veteran. She's been through the wars of health. She knows and trusts in you. She believes and has faith, and her trust is in you. So God, we ask that you would see her through this situation. Bless her daughter, God, as she rallies around her mother. Continue to build a stronger bond, one with you and with each other. We love you, God. We thank you. Bless even those doctors and nurses that will see her through the situation. Now, God, as we depart from this place, but not your presence, go with us, God. Guide us and keep us is our prayer. Forgive us for our shortcomings and anything that's not like you. Help us to be where we need to be in Christ. Now to him who can keep us from falling and present us faultless before his soon coming, be glory, majesty, power, and dominion henceforth, now, forever. All of God's children say amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise him. Glory. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.